This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 317. And I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow, unless there's a problem, but I think we're going to be okay. It's been a good week. My wife is actually gone. That is not why it has been a good week. Monday, my wife actually made a quick trip down to Joplin because she had a friend, long-time friend, who was supposed to be coming in to spend a couple of nights with us, who ended up getting delayed on a flight and so missed her connecting flight, and the only flight she could get was to Joplin, so my wife drove down there, got her, and brought her back. So we had Ray staying with us for a couple of days, and that's always a delight to have Ray staying with us. So got a chance to chat a little bit, and my wife got a chance to run around with her best friend, and so that's good. And then they all took off to take my wife down to Tulsa, and my wife flew out of Tulsa down to Dallas because she's going to be down there for a women's retreat. You know, it came at a time which wasn't necessarily the best time because she's got a children's musical coming up here in just a few days. Not this weekend, but next weekend. But I told her, sweetie, go have a wonderful time. Get relaxed. Enjoy yourself. Ta-ta. You know, it's going to be fine. So she's gone down. She was pretty excited about, you know, going down and seeing her cousin. She's going to go to the retreat with her cousin who lives down in Dallas. And so they're going to get a chance to kick around for several days and just relax. And so it'll be good. It'll be very, very good. So anyways, you know, it's been a good week. I've had a couple of conversations with buddies this week. And have a new friend. Not a new friend, but a new get-together every month friend. That we met for the second time this morning, and I really enjoy talking to him. He has a very interesting perspective on things, and he's actually a scientist. He's a physicist, teaches at college. I think we call himself a physicist. I think so. He teaches physics, I know that for sure, and so he does the higher math stuff, and so it's very interesting, very creative guy, and you know, very fascinating to talk with. So I'm glad we finally, we've for years talked about how we need to get together and talk and all that kind of stuff, and finally just pushed through and said, let's do this. So it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. I've just been plowing along on Windfall, The Narrow Door. I was getting a little worried because I was like, where is this character going? What are we doing? What is happening? You know, there were a couple of spots where I was just like, we need, this needs to be better. But I felt like just keep plowing. And just today I was thinking about it some more and it's starting to open up and I think that's going to be okay. I may have some polishing that I need to do when I get this book roughed in. More than normal, because I'm actually writing this faster than I usually do. Normally try to target at about 5,000 words a week. Well, this one I'm trying to push to get to 7,500 words a week, and I think that's not giving me as much think time as I usually have. Give me a chance to kind of mull the stuff as I'm going, and so it'll be interesting to see when I actually get to the end, if I actually have significantly more editing and chopping and turning things around than I normally do. And if I do, then of course maybe that's not so good. But I think so far we're doing okay. I was been a little concerned that I wasn't quite getting where I needed to be, but you know, I got some changes here I'm going to put in, and I think we're going to be okay. Talked to a couple extra beta readers this week, and they seem to be enjoying the book. I did have one beta reader tell me just today, okay, next time, don't make the book so long. It's like, oh, yeah, sorry. I had a character show up in the last book. I didn't realize was going to be there, so the book ended up being 100 pages longer than I thought it was going to be, which meant, you know, put it out at 450 pages as opposed to like 350 pages, which I need to keep them to about 350 pages. So I'm going to try to get this one closed down in that amount of time. But, you know, all in all, it's going fine. And I had a few kind of dark days this last week where I was like, is this actually going to work? But, you know, just within a few, I think we're going to be okay. I think this is going to be fun. So, anyways, and I have an entire weekend to write now, so, which is good, because if I'm going to get to 7,500 words this weekend, I'm going to have to actually lay down about 2,000 words a day on Friday and Saturday, which is a lot, but I have done 2,500 words in a given day, so it is within realm reason that I could get there, and I have lots of things to talk about, so I think I'm going to give it a run and see where we end up. And I knew this week was going to be a little bit sporadic because I knew Ray was coming in, so I actually wrote an extra 700 words last week just in case. So technically I don't need to get to 7,500 words. If I get to 6,800, I'm good. Anyways, so that's good. Everything's puttering along. Everything's good. The weather has been gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Just beautiful, gorgeous, and it's been good. I had kind of a squirrely, funny thing happen to me. I was listening to a TED Talk, which I may talk about more. I've got it in my list of things to talk about, but one of the things that the lady was talking about was activation energy. Do you have activation energy? That when you know that there's something good you should be doing, you just do it. And one of the examples she gave is, she said, for instance, tomorrow, set your alarm for whatever time you want to set it for, and then when it goes off, throw back the covers, get out of bed. Don't hit snooze, don't just throw off the covers, get out of bed. So I was like, oh, I'll try that. So I'd gone to bed, I don't know, 10 o'clock-ish or so. I had my alarm set for 6 o'clock, you know, which that's 8 hours sleep. I typically average just a little over 7 hours of sleep. I just pop awake at about 7 hours of sleep. So I thought, well, it'll be fine. So I had it set, and I thought, well, now, when that alarm goes off, I'm throwing off the covers, and I'm getting out of bed. And so, because I have activation. Or activation energy. So I popped awake at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, just awake, popped awake, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm staring at the ceiling. Well, I don't really want to get out of bed now, because that's only 6 hours of sleep. It's better if I have like 7. So I laid there, I don't know, till 5:30, 5:45. Finally, I just gave up and got up. So I think I was, you know, this is a deadline. I got to meet this deadline. Then I was nervous about not meeting the deadline and proving that I had activation energy. So funny stuff we do to ourselves. Anyway, speaking of things we do to ourselves, came across a really fascinating TED Talk. Really, really fascinating TED Talk. By a doctor whose name is Lisa Rankin. I think that's how you say her name. Very interesting. Who has been studying the placebo effect for many years now. and has written a book or maybe two on the subject. And the title of her talk was, Is There Scientific Proof We Can Heal Ourselves? And she said, you know, as a skeptical scientist, medical doctor, she said, can the mind heal the body? She said, do we have evidence? And she said, when we have a question like that, it fuels research. And she said, the fact of the matter is, she said that scientific research has been proving that the mind can heal the body. She said, for a surgeon, it's really kind of an inconvenient truth. She said, and yet, this placebo effect, we should consider this excellent news. Because she said, the body has innate self-repair mechanisms. She said there's, I think she called it the Spontaneous Remissions Project. The Spontaneous Remissions Project is documenting these, what we would call miraculous episodes where people just recover from stuff. She said they've got over 3,500 case studies of people recovering from what are thought to be incurable illnesses. She said, and every illness you can imagine is in there, stage 4 cancers. She said people going from HIV positive to HIV negative. She said heart problems, thyroid problems, autoimmune problems. She said the most intriguing one, she said, actually comes from 1957. She says there's a man named Mr. Wright, and he has advanced lymphocarcinoma. So this guy has like tumors that are the size of grapefruit. They're draining 2 quarts of milky liquid off his lungs every day. I mean, he's just barely hanging on to life. And he hears about this new miracle drug. This miracle drug, and I forget what it was called. Miracle drug that can solve stuff. Miracle drug. And it was going into trials. And he starts bugging his doctor about it. And his doctor has a problem. Because in order to get into this trial, the doctor has to sign off on the fact that he's going to live for 3 months. And the doctor, frankly, doesn't think he's going to live for 3 months. And the doctor's trying to explain this to the guy. And the guy's like, no, we have to get this drug. We have to get this drug. This can heal me. So finally, the doctor recants and says, all right, fine. So he gets this drug and he doses this guy up on a Friday. By the time the doctor gets back to the hospital on Monday, Mr. Wright is up and around. He said the tumors are half the size. Everybody's like, what? You know, this is amazing. Guy eventually recovers, leaves the hospital. Everything's good. Good, good, good. His life is good. Then, 2 months later, I guess the study comes out on the drug, and it reports that the drug doesn't work. And unfortunately, Mr. Wright reads this, and the tumors come back. And the doctor's thinking, what? So the doctor decides that he's going to try something. He calls in Mr. Wright, and he says, okay, look, that drug I gave you, yeah, that batch wasn't a great batch. You know, they had some problems with that batch, but I got a hold of you for you. I got a hold of a really pure batch of this stuff. You know, not much of this around, but I got a hold of this. And I want to dose you. Sure, doc, let's do that. So he doses him up with saline. Just gives him a saline injection. And sure enough, the tumors disappear. These are real tumors. These are not the tumors. They disappear. For another 2 months, this guy's fine. And then she said, the government's made a mistake. They published this big story how that this drug does not work. 2 days later, Mr. Wright dies. So she said that's an example of the placebo effect. She gave an example of something that I may have heard about before, but I couldn't remember for sure, called the nocebo effect. She said, there's this midwife. These triplets are born on the 13th of the month. Maybe it was like a Friday the 13th. And this midwife, for some reason, decides that, oh, these children must be hexed. And so she pronounces this hex over them and says that the first child will die before the age of 16, and the second child will die before the age of 21, and the third child will die before the age of 23. Why she would do this, I have no idea. But as the doctor said, when the mind believes something bad is going to happen, it usually does. So sure enough, the first gal died the day before her 16th birthday. The second one died either on her 21st birthday or before her 21st birthday. The third one, the day before her 23rd birthday, showed up in the emergency room pleading for help, couldn't breathe. You know, they admitted her, they can't find anything. She dies that night. Nocebo effect. What's interesting, she says, the lecturer, this doctor, that scientific journals are full of the effect. She say they have countless case studies that if you give a fake treatment, and she said the best is fake surgery. If you give them fake surgery, she said 18 to 80% of people get better. And she said it's not just in their mind. It's not that they, you know, just feel better. She said, you can actually document the changes in their bodies. Ulcers get better. Warts disappear. She said, you can actually document these changes. She said, there's Rogaine studies where they give a placebo to men who are bald and they grow hair. She said, and you can also give people a placebo and tell them it's radiation, and they're going to be nauseated, and they're going to lose their hair, and they will start throwing up, and they will lose their hair. She said when a placebo is given, they still get better, even when they're told it's a placebo. Which this is interesting. So the doctors, medical doctors, you know, we're testing the placebo effect here. What we're giving you, there's nothing there. But in many people, this has led to, you know, improvements. And so we're going to give it to you. And we're going to give it a try. Blah, blah, blah. She said, in many cases, people still get better. So she said, what's going on? And she said, there's one guy who submits that the placebo effect is more than just the person believing the drug will make them better. It is also the attending care of a physician that is interested in them and that believes that their care might get them better. So even if it's a placebo, if the doctor believes the placebo will work, even if he tells his patients that it's a placebo, then a lot of times it will work. Which is very interesting. Really very interesting. She said the problem here is that doctors can be both the placebo and the nocebo. She said because a doctor trying to be realistic about things, seeing where the patient is, he brings in the patient and says, well, you've only got a 5% chance that you're going to survive, and you know, I only give you 5 months. Okay, well, what have you just done? I'm getting my mail. One moment. What you've just done is given that patient a nocebo. You know, you have, in essence, cursed them, hexed them, caused them to think that they are going to die. Oh, one moment. Got to check down below. Nope, we're good. Got a notice today that I got more cricket bars coming in. So this is very interesting. So what is her solution to all this? And she actually has been thinking about this. And some people will trace the placebo effect down to being evoked in people when they are in a state of relaxation. So she said, in our lifestyles, we have a lot of stress. And she said, that's putting us into fight or flight, and we don't really have a chance to relax like we should. And she said, these relaxation responses, backing into my garage, one moment, these relaxation is, in her mind, what actually engages the mind's ability to heal the body. And so she has developed something called the Whole Health Cairn, and it's an interaction of several different elements. And I thought these were pretty interesting. And she said, you know, these elements, they're elements of love and service and pleasure and gratitude. And of course, there's several pieces in there that, you know, made my ears kind of perk up a little bit because I have used some of those terms before. But she pictured it like it was a big pile of rocks that needed to be in balance. And what's interesting is the lowest rock she had on her little graph was inner pilot light. And she described that as that essential part of you that tells you the truth. Oh, I recognize this. In my world, that's spirit. She said, and then keeping a balance between your work and life and having a purpose, relationships, spirituality, creativity, sexuality, your environment, your mental health, money, physical health. She said, these things all in balance lead to a life where you're relaxed. And the more you're relaxed, the more you're calm, the more your body has the ability to heal itself in her realm. She said, you know, relationships matter. She said people with strong social networks, people who are married versus unmarried, spiritual life matter. All these things add years to your life. We have the statistics. She said attitude matters. She said happy people live typically 7 years longer than people who are. Optimism matters. And in her mind, she thinks what's going on is that the brain communicates with the body and produces all these hormones. And when it's relaxed, it produces certain types of hormones, and it can actually use all of these things to focus and direct energy and heal people. So she said there's lots of ways to turn on the relaxation response. You can meditate, you can express creativity, you can do yoga, you can get a massage, have sex, laugh, exercise, play with animals, all those things. And in her conclusion, she said our healthcare system is badly broken. She said, we have lost respect for the body. She said, we think we've mastered nature and we find it repelling that nature could be better than us. But she said, we as the physicians need to step back from that attitude and be in the business of helping people get well by being, in essence, she said, the placebo effect as opposed to the nocebo effect. So it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. It's really pretty interesting. Now, I happen to have a little different take on it because, as I've said in the past, I really think that faith as an engine is built right into this world. That just like there's gravity and we can count on gravity, faith as an engine is built into this world. I believe that. And if you look at Jesus as he's going around and he's healing people, you see a phrase that pops up over and over and over and over and over and over that Jesus says to people, your faith has made you well. And I think there's something there that it can certainly be helped by an authority figure like a doctor saying, this would be good for you, because then people kind of put their faith in something. They put their faith in something outside themselves. And so I think what we're seeing, personally, what we're seeing in the placebo effect is we're seeing a small portion of people's faith activated. And because of that, then there are physical changes in their body, because that's what they can believe for. Part of my conversation with my buddy this morning, we got on the topic of the supernatural and my beliefs in the supernatural, and he was very open to them. Because I happen to think that we are capable of far more than just causing hormonal changes in our body and causing our bodies to recover from stuff. I think we are actually capable of what Jesus said we were capable of, that he was not lying, he was not being cruel, he was telling us the truth. But that is a subject for a whole other podcast. And for now, since I am in my garage, I will simply say, be kind to yourself, stay calm, find something creative to do, love on your spouse, have relationships with others. If you have animals, go pet them a little bit, spend some time with them, you know, laugh some today. All those things obviously are very, very good for us and may, in fact, help us to heal ourselves, which is a fascinating idea. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.